Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. So when I say this phrase, I want you to tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready? What does it mean to be called to greatness? What does that mean? What does it mean to be called to greatness? Well, you know what? A.W. Tozer once looked around at our biblical history and those who've gone before him, who've done great things for the Lord, and he wondered, what is the common denominator? So he did some investigating and some studying, and he learned that the differences were vast. One was educated, one was not. One was black, one was white, one was poor, one was rich. And he said the differences were just stark. So the only common denominator he could find in these people, these greats who've gone before us, is what he called spiritual receptivity, that they cultivated a lifestyle that listened to God. And when the Lord spoke, they did something about it. You know, God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. And we're all called to greatness. And I'm so excited to welcome Dan Britton and Jimmy Page back to the show. We've had them on before talking about some of their other books. They've got a brand new book out titled Called to Greatness, 31 Devotions to Ignite the Faith of Fathers and Sons. We're going to specifically talk about that father-son relationship. But if you're not a father, there are young men in your life that you can influence, and there's also a mentor that could mentor you. So I want you to stay tuned and be encouraged, because we're all called to greatness. We'll get them on in just a moment. Second hour, Leslie Luty joins us back on the program to talk about the power of the set-apart life. So hour one will direct mainly to men, but women, we've got something to glean from this conversation. Hour two will be directed mainly towards women, but men, there's something in that conversation for you as well. Now, we'll get the guys on in just a moment, but a quick announcement first. We at Faith Radio are honored and blessed to be partnering with Angel Tree again this year, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of children this year who have parents in prison. And I'm telling you, story after story, we hear when a child receives a gift through Angel Tree, they receive not only a Christmas gift, but the message of the gospel and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. So many of these kids, that is one of those glimpses of glory of God's care for them. And they grow up and they become pastors, they become missionaries, they become people who turn around and minister to those who also have parents in prison. So listen to this. $73 can help you reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Will you help us partner? We want to get 1,200 children sponsored this year through Angel Tree. Let's listen to a story today.
Deborah was only 13 when her choices led to addiction to alcohol, marijuana, and crack cocaine, and teenage pregnancy.
I had my first daughter at age 18 and left her with my mom because I needed to get back to the drugs to make me feel like I was okay.
Selling drugs and shoplifting led to her first arrest and conviction. Deborah served her time. But like so many inmates, she wasn't really rehabilitated.
I didn't know Christ when I left prison, and I did pretty well for a short time. And then I found myself right back with the same people doing the same thing I had done so many times before.
She went back to prison again and again. At her third sentencing, pregnant with her fourth child, Deborah heard a truth that stayed with her.
And I remember the judge telling me, he says, "You just can't do right." And really, that was true. Because without Christ, who can do right?
She was beginning to see she couldn't do life on her own. At the same time, Angel Tree opened her eyes to a love she had never known before.
I remember calling home one Christmas and my daughter saying, "Mom, thank you. But how did you know what I wanted?" And it really, really touched my heart.
A heart hardened by years of addiction opens.
And I remember tears and remorse and one volunteer telling me, "You know, Jesus loves you and he forgives you if you give your life to him." That day and that moment was a change that will last the rest of my life.
With Christ in her life, Deborah became the mom her children needed.
I think about my life without Angel Tree. What would have happened to my children? Because statistics says children of prisoners are more likely to become prisoners themselves.
And she's seen Angel Tree camping, mentoring, and outreach impact the lives of hurting children year-round.
Angel Tree is not just a gift-giving program. It is an opportunity to find out where those hurting children and families are, and for the church to be able to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ.
Finding hurting children and reflecting the love of Jesus. That's Angel Tree.
You can see why we're so blessed to be partnering with Angel Tree again this year. Will you help us reach children with a message of the gospel, a personalized Christmas gift, and a note from their parent? Information is on our website at myfaithradio.com. One more quick announcement before I get Dan and Jimmy on the show. And this is our month for Live the Promise of the Great Giveaway. A week from this Thursday, we'll be dedicating the whole show to your calls. The Great Giveaway is just this. We're wanting to mobilize thousands of you to get out of your comfort zone, engage in a random act of kindness, and come back and tell us about it. And we're asking, what's the best thing you can do with $15? That's just a starting point. You do with whatever you've got in your hand. But come back and tell us about it. Everybody who gets on the air next Thursday will get some fun Christmas candy, some resources off our Faith Radio shelf. Two of the most inspiring stories will get big gift baskets full of goodies as our way of saying thank you for being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Boy, 'tis the season to give, isn't it? Let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get them on the show. Jimmy Page serves as Vice President of Field Ministry for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. As a 20-year leader in the health and fitness industry, he's operated wellness facilities affiliated with Sinai Hospital and Johns Hopkins. He now hosts a radio program called Fit Fridays. His friend Dan Britton serves as Fellowship of Christian Athletes Executive Vice President of International Ministry. Dan oversees the ministry advancement of FCA internationally by reaching coaches and athletes around the world through training, resourcing, staffing, and partnerships. Together, Jimmy and Dan have co-authored 4 books, and you can find more about them on their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Dan and Jimmy, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you.
I knew I set you up for that. On your mark, get set, go. All right. Well, I'm so excited to talk with you about your new book, Called to Greatness, 31 Devotions to Ignite the Faith of Fathers and Sons. And it really is a great book. And if you wouldn't mind, because we love to start all of our conversations with Scripture, Dan, let's start with you. Is there a passage that you've been camping on these days, pondering, that you can share with us?
One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 90, and it's unique because, one, it's the oldest psalm, and also it's a psalm written by an author that only wrote one psalm, and that's Moses. And it's a prayer, and in those 17 verses, verse 12, Moses prays this prayer to the Lord. He says, "Lord, teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop a heart of wisdom." And that verse just allows me to allow there's no wasted days. There's no days off. Every day counts for the kingdom of God. Every day counts as a parent. Every day counts as a spouse. Every day counts as a leader in what God has called you to do. And I want to make every single day count so that, why, we can have a heart of wisdom.
You know, Dan, I studied that passage before, and to number our days means to appoint the day, to anoint the day, to claim the day. It's almost like to recognize that this day is a sacred gift from God. And the more that we anoint the day and appoint the day, we get more wisdom in our heart to treasure that day. I mean, you can see how the opposite, the busyness of skimming the surface, is unwise when you consider it's absolutely wise to pause and say, this day counts and this day matters. Doesn't that inspire you when you think about it?
Yeah, it does. I think that every day is anointed because it's of God, mm-hmm. and everything is, there's no such thing as sacred. And secular, everything's sacred according to God. And for us to know that every day is a sacred day, every day is an anointed day. Funny, Susie, I remember our former FCA president, Fellowship of Christian Athletes president, Dal Shealy, actually took this verse literally, and he actually counted every single day. So if you walked up to him and said, "Hey, Dal, what's your number today?" He actually counted every day. And I don't know if Moses actually meant for us to individually count literally the days, but in a spiritual realm, are we making every day count? And again, there's no wasted days according to God.
Indeed, amen. Okay, Jimmy, how about you?
Well, there's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 4 that talks about how God has given each one of us unique gifts and a variety of them, and that each one of those gifts is designed for a purpose. And the biggest purpose is, or at least one of the biggest purposes, is to serve one another. So this passage in 1 Peter 4, the verse follows, hey, if you have the gift of speaking, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. If you have the gift of helping, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, and all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. And this verse, this passage to me, it inspires me to do everything with the strength and energy that God supplies. I know for me, I'm kind of a driver, so it's easy for me to get up and operate in my own strength. In fact, that's comfortable to me. That's what I know. But this passage is saying, hey, everything you have, anything you do well at is really a gift from God, and he's given it to you for a reason. And he wants you to operate out of his spirit and not your own strength. And if you do, then everything you do is going to end up glorifying God through Christ. That's just a passage that resonates with me in so many ways. Mm.
And this is why we do it. You both brought the word to life for us, and that's just excellent. Well, you've written some books together. I know as a writer myself that God really does something in me before he does it through me. And I'll start with you, Dan, but talk about how this book was born in your heart and how you decided, okay, this is the next one we need to do.
It really was born out of personal experience. Jimmy and I have been doing life together for 25 years. I can't believe it's been 25 years, Jimmy, that we met right at the end of both of us graduating and kind of stepping from the college world into the real world, neither one of us being married and not having kids yet. But as we have literally been journeying shoulder to shoulder, side by side for these 25 years, both of us have kids. I have three kids. He has four kids. And he has several sons. I have one son and two daughters. And as we were investing in our kids, we realized that the father-son relationship was so unique and so specially designed by God. And as we began to share how we were encouraging our young men of God, and as we wanted to invest in them to grow as godly young men, there are certain things that we realized were non-negotiables, things that we could not assume that they knew, that we had to stop and make sure that we pressed into those areas to make the most of them. And as we began to sharpen each other and see God do amazing things through our kids, through our young men, we thought, gosh, we got to be able to share this with others. And also, Susie, not only out of personal experience, but as we began to interact with other dads who had sons, we weren't finding the same stories. We were finding stories of regret. We were finding stories of remorse and broken relationships, almost to the point, Susie, that we didn't even want to share. Like, they were turning and go, well, how's your relationship with your sons? Like, can we change the subject? Because it was awkward sharing, gosh, we have a phenomenal relationship with our sons. And so as a result of that, we felt that it was we were compelled to write this book and that God wanted us, we wanted us, our families wanted us to be able to write this book and be able to share with others.
Appreciate that so much. When we come back, Jimmy, I want you to talk about the idea of a father wound and the whole idea that God calls us beloved, and to imagine how young men, old men would live differently if they truly knew they were the object of their father's affection. Talking to Dan Britton today, Jimmy Page, they've co-authored the book Called to Greatness. You've got four copies to get into your hands. Maybe you're somebody who wants to start out the year right mentoring your son. I don't care what your ages are. This would be a great book for you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, or with Dan and Ginny, Jimmy when we come back.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I hope you're feeling blessed today and loved today, because you are. You're loved and you're blessed. And I want to thank you for tuning in, because I'm talking with Dan Britton and Jimmy Page. They're lifelong friends. They're co-authors and cohorts in ministry. They co-authored the new book, Called to Greatness, 31 Devotions to Ignite the Faith of Fathers and Sons. And Jimmy, I'd love for you to speak to the idea of a father wound, because you know that there are full-grown men who are walking with a limp, and not a kind of limp from wrestling with God, but with, basically a broken heart and feeling like they're somehow defective because that relationship with their own father wasn't what it was maybe meant to be.
Yeah, most of the men that we encounter in everyday life are experiencing some sense of woundedness from the relationship with their dad. In fact, you know, it speaks to what Dan was talking about, why we did this. We discovered there's this huge gap between fathers and sons, that there's a distance that has created a demoralizing effect on young men and old men as they get older, and they don't resolve those relational issues with their dad. So they walk around with this woundedness, and it really speaks to their identity. You know, partly it's approval, partly it's missing out on the validation from their dad, on the approval of their father. They don't feel accepted by their dad because of one reason or another. They just don't experience the sense that their father is pleased with them, that there's nothing that can separate them in their relationship. And consequently, they spend most of their lives either denying their dad or you know, kind of trying to distance themselves from their father and carrying around that wound, or trying to earn their father's favor and love. So either way you slice it, men are walking around with wounds that could be avoided, and that's why this book, I think, could be a key tool, a key instrument that brings fathers and sons back together and puts sons and dads back on the path that God has ordained for them.
You know, you can't impart what you don't possess. So I'm imagining a full-grown man who's a father, who's got a father wound. He has to get with God, because God can heal that, even if that relationship feels like it's broken forever for whatever reason. But so that he can impart life-giving relationship to his son, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, we coach the way we've been coached. We typically will father the way we were fathered. So until we let God in a significant and personal way, until we experience a relationship with our Heavenly Father, then it's very difficult to change course and do things differently than the way we were raised. So the starting point is always this understanding that you are God's beloved. You know, he says this, the Father says this in a beautiful picture to Jesus as he comes up out of the water after being baptized by John. And the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, and the voice says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I mean, it's just this beautiful picture, and we need to experience that kind of love from God the Father so that he can heal the stuff that's broken inside of us and then begin to do things differently with our own kids.
I'm going to read this excerpt from your book. I have Dan, you comment on it, and Jimmy, if you want to, after the bottom of the hour break, I'd love to have you do that as well. But this is so great. You're right. Can you imagine if every son knew that he was his father's beloved? It would be life-changing, because it would eliminate the son's quest to earn his father's love and acceptance. It would end the performance-based relationship that is dependent on how well he does on the field, in the classroom, in his career, or on stage. His identity and place in the family would be secure and not affected by circumstances, successes, or failures. Sons would live with security, confidence, and courage, knowing that their dad will always be there for them. Say more about that, Dan.
Powerful insight that one is what Jimmy said is first we need to understand that we are God's beloved, just in the same way that God the Father modeled that with his son, Jesus Christ, during the baptism. But then a lot of times it stops there, even if we get to the point of going, okay, I'm God's beloved, great. Well, now we have a son, and we have the opportunity to say to our sons that you are my beloved. And very few sons, if you talk to sons today and said, do you realize that your father is pleased with you? They'll look at you cross-eyed. And we believe, both Jimmy and I believe, that five of the greatest words uttered by a father is simply this: I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you, period. And being able to communicate that in a very genuine, powerful way. The best that maybe we can get to, I've seen this when being around ball fields, when some kid makes a great play, they yell, that's my son, that's my son. And that's good, but still, there's a difference between saying, that's my son, and saying, this is my son, mm-hmm. and I'm pleased with him. Mm-hmm. It's not bragging about my son. It is identifying that my son, this is my son, and that is identity, not bragging.
Well, that's a really good distinction, and I'm thinking about, again, having, you know, I think parenting brings up our own weaknesses, our wounds, our issues, and you think about, let's say you are an athletic dad, and you have dreams for your son, and maybe to be able to do what you never could do, and he ends up wanting to be a musician or an artist. It hooks to our stuff, you know, and Jimmy, maybe say a word about that, because to be able to get to that point where your son realizes, I know I'm different than you, I'm probably taking a different interpretive path than you as far as what I'm good at, what I love, I still want to feel your pleasure over me. I think that takes some real maturity from a father, Jimmy, don't you?
Oh, it sure does. You know, most of us live vicariously through our kids. You know, there's a sense for when you're a father and you've got boys, you kind of want them to like the things you like. You want them to do the things that you do. You kind of have these dreams built in about all the stuff you're going to do with your son and what that relationship's going to look like. And then if God has made them uniquely different than you in whatever way, the things that he's interested in, the things that he's passionate about, you kind of have to do a reboot and say, oh, my gosh, my job is to help them discover their uniqueness. It's to accept exactly how God has made them. It's to affirm in them God's hand on their life, his unique design for them, and then to celebrate it and find ways that you can connect with them so that they feel affirmed, so that they know they're accepted. Not just, we just don't get along or we don't like the same things. Instead, you step into their world and you begin to enjoy who God has made them to be.
And that's probably one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids, because they know, they'll get to an age where they're smart enough to know, boy, my dad would have loved it if I would have gotten into this, but I'm into this, but he's in the bleachers, he's cheering for me. I mean, that just goes such a long way. When we come back, I'd love for both Dan and Jimmy to speak to the idea that the father-son relationship, you say, is one of the most anointed relationships designed by God. I want you to explain that, unpack that. We welcome your questions. I'd love for you to chime in, 877-93-FAITH. 877-933-2484 or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. That song play out, his father and friend. He's with us through the end. Emmanuel, God with us. So if you're someone who didn't have a great father relationship, and maybe your father has died and he's gone on, and you feel permanently broken, well, you know what? God can heal that place in your heart. So don't give up, right? Talking to our friends Dan Britton and Jimmy Page, they've co-written a book titled Called to Greatness, 31 Devotions to Ignite the Faith in Fathers, the Faith of Fathers and Sons. And Jimmy, I mentioned I was going to ask you about this father-son relationship. You both say that it's one of the most anointed relationships designed by God. Hold that thought for a moment, because a caller called in and asked this question. I'd love for you both to speak to it. We'll start with you, Jimmy. It says, some fathers struggle with being self-focused even after having children. How can a father-son relationship flourish when the father won't even invest in his son? What do you say, Jimmy?
Wow, that is a challenge. I think you have to get to the root of why. But a lot of times that, you know, that lack of investment is really born out of fear. You know, there's an undercurrent of feeling like he may not know what to do, and he may feel like he's not equipped properly to have that relationship work properly and to invest in them. And, you know, a lot of times guys are afraid. We're afraid to ask for directions. We're afraid to admit that we don't know how to work on a car or, you know, build something. We're afraid. And rather than admit it and just press in, instead, a lot of times we withdraw. And, you know, the big challenge of being able to impart wisdom and values and relationship with your son can be scary. So a lot of times we withdraw when God is asking us to do the very opposite of that and take a risk, even though you don't have all the answers, and just press in and get close.
Mm, very good. What do you say, Dan?
I think Jimmy hit nail on the head. I think there's a lot of insecurity. You know, there's fear and insecurity, and a lot of men feel that, fathers feel that they don't have the ability, and maybe they've never were taught how to engage with their son, and then therefore no one ever sat down and showed them how to do it, so therefore they have a way out. I would, you know, it's hard if there's not any desire or any interest at all. It's almost hard to manufacture that, and I would say that one, either try to create an opportunity where the father and son can do something together. Is there a common interest that they can begin a habit or a hobby or a sport, something that they can be able to engage around to be able to form that relationship? And then if the mom's involved and realize that there's no hope, then I would say, even though this is second best, but still very intentional from the mother's side, is there a father figure that can come into the picture to provide that father role that's needed? Somewhere that role needs to be fulfilled. So I would say go to whatever extreme has to happen, that if there's real fathers checked out and there's no way to get them kind of stepping up to the table, then try to identify a father role, a youth pastor or someone in the church that can, you know, come alongside that young man and really fill that needed responsibility and role in their life.
And, you know, if you are that mother or that wife, I'm thinking of the passage Dan opened with about teach us to number our days. Pray that the husband or the father in that case would have a heart of wisdom, that God would open his eyes to see the brevity of days and the brevity of life and even the short time you have a son in your influence. And, I mean, I would, if I were the mother or the wife in this case, I would fast. I would be on my face. I would grab hold of the horns of the altar, and I'd not let go. You know, God, intervene here and open the eyes of this man so he can invest in his son. So, Dan, you and Jimmy write that this father-son relationship is one of the most anointed relationships designed by God. Explain what you mean.
We believe that with that relationship, same thing between God the Father and Jesus the Son, that in the way that the relationship here on earth, that's a great biblical model. I have one son. Jimmy has three sons. He has three sons and a daughter. I have two daughters and a son. And with that, we know that the role as a parent, but even I would say specifically with the son, is we have a chance to pass on lessons, love, and legacy. That anointing that is given to us to pass on this valuable wisdom through lessons that they encounter every day, that we encounter to develop them as young men of God, for them to get connected with the Father's love and to not only the Heavenly Father's love, but the earthly Father's love, and then also to pass on the legacy, to carry on the namesake within the generation after generation, is so anointed by God that's really given to us. God's given us the baton to be able to carry that anointed relationship to the next level.
It almost seems like if that isn't intact or hasn't been, you haven't resolved the issues that have come from a father-son relationship, you operate with a mindset of deficiency where you spend the rest of your life trying to prove yourself versus when you see a young man who's got a healthy identity and a healthy relationship with his father, he's already far ahead of the game than most, wouldn't you say, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. A healthy relationship between father and son releases the son to be great and really to experience God's path for their life. If that relationship is healthy, they're not carrying around that backpack of broken promises and not feeling like they measure up, the weight that you usually carry around from that. Instead, they're taking risks. They're finding ways to live with passion and purpose. They're identifying with God in a unique way. And when that relationship is damaged, it can diminish it. But, the good news is God can overcome any damage that we may have experienced. I mean, my relationship with my father has had its challenges, and I mean significant challenges. My story is a bit different than Dan's, even in that respect. My father struggled with alcoholism for most of my years growing up, and there was damage there. But God, when God got a hold of me and opened my eyes to a different kind of relationship with my Heavenly Father, it allowed me to operate differently with my dad, with a lot more forgiveness, a lot more grace. And in many ways, just kind of feeling bad that he made choices that maybe didn't allow him to become everything he was made either. And so I operate differently with my dad. I take responsibility for my life. And because my relationship has been restored with my Heavenly Father, it allows me to walk with confidence now with my own boys.
And truly, I would imagine that has an impact on your own relationship with your dad as far as, in some ways, maybe the roles even reversed, but you're sharpening him because you're walking in fullness and not in emptiness, you know?
Absolutely. That is a challenge because you do have to overcome history or maybe some hurts that still exist. So there's still a process of healing, but there is this great grace and the ability to release that, see it with different eyes, and then, right, mentor up, as we say. Hey, hey, boys, if your dad's not walking with God and you are, hey, mentor up. Live in such a way that no one can look down on you. You know, be an example to your father in that case, and you might just win him to Christ too.
Mm. And that's happened time and time again. So, Dan, I'm going to read this quote. Love to have you comment on it. Jimmy, if you'd like to after, it's great. Here it is from Call to Greatness. Jesus wants us to stand up and stand out. He wants us to go against the flow. He wants us to be the one who stands instead of bowing down to the idols of the day. He wants us to be the one who isn't afraid to pray in the restaurant when no one else is praying before they eat. He wants us to rise early and to start our day in the Word, seeking Him while our friends soak up one more hour of sleep. He wants us to live with a sense of mission and passion and go against the flow of our culture. All the great leaders of God swam upstream. I had to tweet that last line. All the great leaders of God swam upstream. Dan, speak more to that passage, if you would.
Yeah, it's so much needed. I just recently, Susie, saw a report in USA Today that did one of the most comprehensive survey of high school students back late October. 22,000 high school students, and they asked high school students what they experience during the day. What type of feelings do they have? And it's interesting in the survey, Susie, they didn't put boxes with feelings that they checked off. They put three blank lines that the kids could fill in whatever they wanted. And again, 22,000 responses. 8 of the 10 responses were negative. And the top three were tired, stressed, bored. The only two positive, which were at the bottom, were happy and excited. And I think, Susie, what's happening is we are being driven, our society, to just being numb, not caring. You know, I love the definition of busyness is simply when we stop caring about the things we care about. That's busyness, right? We just go, 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 do, 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 and it's all do-do, right? It's just the rat race, and we just get tired. And so kids, now our high school kids, these aren't grown adults. They're saying, top three response, tired, stressed, and bored, because there's no intentionality, there's no wiggle to swim upstream, there's no hope, there's no purpose, and there's a breakdown in the family. I believe it starts and ends with the family. It starts and ends with the relationship between the father and the kids, the father and the sons. And so we, again, just felt like, you know, this is a huge dose, this call to greatness, in the sense that we don't want to just go with the flow. We want to have a wake-up call. You know, Susie, even at the beginning of the book, we highlight for fathers and sons to evaluate and to rate their relationship. Is it hot, warm, or cold? And being able to process. And okay, if it's cold, so what? Let's do something about it. Let's take a step forward. If it's hot, meaning it's great and it's the best that it can be, you can even make it a little bit better. And so we actually have a covenant, a challenge at the beginning that the father and son sign, and they agree to journey together to ignite the faith between a father and son so that they can swim upstream together. Not alone, but upstream.
Jimmy, do you want to add to that at all? So good.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've always told the kids, you know, you need to stand up. You're going to stand out, and sometimes you're going to stand alone. And there is an empowerment that happens when you're willing to stand up for the right things, to stand with people for the right reasons, and to stand alone in those moments when you're not going to do it the way everybody else is doing it. There is an incredible amount of strength and resolve that results from that. And on the other side, if you compromise, the bar just gets lower and lower and lower. Each compromise leads to the next compromise, and before long, you don't like the person you've become very well. My kids will always tell us, you know, they feel strength when they stand up and when they're willing to stand alone. So, you know, going against the flow doesn't take a whole lot of effort. Anybody can do that. But it takes a special kind of young man, a special kind of man who is willing to look around and ask this question, hey, if everybody else is doing this, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing it. That's the standard we do. Hey, if everybody else is doing it, it's probably not something I should be doing.
So good. You know, I'm just going to put the bug in your ear. Since you both have daughters, I think your next Call to Greatness book is Devotions for Fathers and Daughters, because, you know, we girls need to have that identity with our dads, too. And that is a game changer, I think, when you have a father who sings over you. And I'm talking to Dan Britton and Jimmy Page. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the blessings that go along with going against the flow. But I also want them to make the distinction between going against the flow for nonconformity's sake and going against the flow because of this otherworldly conviction that Jesus puts in us. More with Dan Britton and Jimmy Page when we come back.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
Hope you're having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friends Dan Britton and Jimmy Page of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They've co-written a book titled Called to Greatness, 31 Devotions to Ignite the Faith of Fathers and Sons. Hey, so what do you think of my great idea that your next one should be Called to Greatness, Devotions for Fathers and Daughters? What do you say?
We are writing right now, man. Come on, that's awesome. Amen to that. Come on.
Come on now. I'll be waiting with bated breath, because I just think daughters need this just as much and for different reasons. So, and you both have girls, so I think you're perfect to write it. So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
You heard it here.
Hey, Susie, listen, when the books came in and we gave them out to our family, we were all celebrating, having fun with it. My daughter, she didn't really want anything to do with it, man. She looked at it. She's 12, by the way. She's like, yeah, that's neat, Dad. But, you know, there's not one for daughters. I mean, what about daughters?
There you go.
Oh, boy.
So get to it. Get to it in your spare time. I'm just saying. All right. So let's talk about these three blessings you identify with going against the flow. Dan, we'll start with you. But God will be glorified, greatness is produced, and God is pleased. Pick one or two of those and speak to them, if you would.
I think the whole idea that God is glorified, I'll pick that, and Jimmy can pick up the other two. But I think that when we think about glorifying God, at best we give God secondhand glory. We you know, God does something great. We take it, we run with it for a little bit, and we know we ultimately got to, you know, give it back to God. And but we want to absorb it, and we give God usually not firsthand glory, but secondhand glory after we've already taken the glory that is due to God, and we claim it ourselves. And it's in our vocabulary. It's the way we teach our kids. And I think one of the greatest lessons we can help our young people, help our sons understand is our entire life should be about glorifying God. You know, are you a sponge or a mirror? That when the glory comes, do we soak it up and say, ah, there's more glory for me and it makes me look better? Or at the end of the day, is it a mirror that we hold it up, that literally when God sees a work being done, it's reflected back to God himself? And, you know, we have an opportunity, Susie, to teach our kids, to teach our sons. Do you want to be a sponge or do you want to be a mirror? Do you want to absorb the glory or do you want to reflect the glory? And we do that in the relationship of modeling that in our relationship with our son. Our sons, believe it, whether we say anything, they are watching. They see everything we do. They see every little gap, every little nuance, every little thing we're hypocritical on, the words we say. And so they're noticing the things. Hey, are we a man of God that glorifies God in all that we do? Or do we actually seek glory? Are we a glory hound? Do we pursue glory so that we can advance ourselves, or can we advance the kingdom of God?
So well put. You know what I love when I have both of you on? You've been friends for absolutely ever, but you're both inspired by the other. When one says something, the other one's, that's good. You know, I mean, you think you already know what you're both going to say, but you both are mutually, you still sharpen each other. I think that's amazing. Jimmy, we're going to get to you on those 2 points, but we've got Brian checking in from Brooklyn Park, wants to say a word to you both. Brian, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I just want to be listening, and I've just been challenged and inspired and a little regretful. I got 4 sons and 5 grandsons. And I think we men, when boys, we need connecting points. I think used to be, you know, people on farms and they had connecting points working together, whatever. And I think sometimes we don't have those connecting points and how important they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that sounds like what they're working on is being intentional in your connecting points. I just want to thank you for writing a book, because I think you guys need that.
Mm-hmm. Brian, thank you for calling in and for encouraging these guys. And you're going to get a copy of their book. Jimmy, did you want to reply to Brian?
It's all about connection. This book, you're exactly right, Brian. I mean, you're singing our language, man, because, you know, this whole thing is to help fathers and sons become intentional about connecting. There's so much distraction, technology, friends. You know, you can be in the same room but be in different worlds. And we're trying to suggest, hey, no, dedicate some time to build connection. And when you do, great things will happen.
Thanks, Brian, for that call. You get a copy of the book, Called to Greatness. So what do you say about, we were talking about the 3 great blessings that go along with going against the flow. So Dan addressed the idea of that God will be glorified. You speak, if you would, Jimmy, to greatness is produced. Talk about how that happens and that God is pleased as a result.
It goes in line with what I mentioned earlier about how when you do stand up for what you believe, when you stand out a bit around principles that are different from everybody else, not just because you want to be rebellious, but instead because you want to be obedient to what God is asking you to do. When that happens, it builds incredible strength and boldness. You know, when each one of my sons turned 16, and Dan did this with his son Eli as well, we had other men in their lives write letters of encouragement to them when they turned 16, and we compiled these letters into a booklet or into some form, and we gave it to them, we presented it to them, and it was advice about what it was going to be to make the transition from being a boy to being a man. Tremendous insight. One of my sons wrote a letter to his younger brother just this past year, and in there, he talked about standing up for what you believe. He talked about the temptations that he would face and how good it feels when you make the right decision and how one right decision leads to the next right decision, and it builds this greatness in you. It feels good to do things God's way. It really does. Now, trust me, there's plenty of loneliness and there's plenty of opposition and all the rest, and you may be, you know, talked down to. You know, we look at what Tim Tebow does, for example, former pro quarterback. He takes a stand for purity. He's now lost 2 relationships over his stand to remain pure in a pledge to be pure for God. And our culture just goes after guys like that. But instead of him shrinking back, I believe it's emboldened him. It's brought glory to God for sure, and it's produced greatness in Tim Tebow's life.
I mean, really, what father of a daughter wouldn't just totally want him as a son-in-law? You can mock him all day long, but, man, the honor that comes from his life is just amazing. We're going to be praying here in a couple of minutes, but I got to read this quote. Love for you both to speak to it. And, of course, as usual, you guys, I've got about 3 pages left of notes that we didn't even touch. There's just so much good stuff in this little book. But you guys write, "Fathers, your words can bring daily blessings or curses to your sons. The choice is yours, life or death. Sons, with so many young people spilling out garbage from their mouths, you can be the one who accentuates the positive with your words. Every day my son hears words of blessing, encouragement, and positivity from me. I'll not let a day go by that he doesn't hear life-giving words from his father. Ask God to control your tongue by purifying your heart. Understand that your words will either bring healing or hurt, blessings or burdens, truth or torture. Let others know you as someone who has the tame tongue that speaks truth in life with 2 small ounces of power." That's amazing. Dan, how about you say a word about that? Then, Jimmy, we'll go to you and we'll pray.
Yeah, one of the lessons in there, we talk about being a VRP or VDP, a very refreshing person or a very draining person.
Mm.
And it's the whole story of Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus came to the Apostle Paul while he was in prison, and he brought refreshment. It literally says that his word, Onesiphorus' name means bringing profit. He brought profit through his words to Paul while he was in prison. So we have an option to be a VDP, very draining person, sucking the life out of people, or we have a chance to be a VRP, a very refreshing person, someone that speaks life into the other person. And that is one of the greatest things we can do with our sons. And we have to continually to refresh our sons. We, as the fathers, need every day to fill them up with God's word, with our encouragement and blessing, and to say, "You're my son, I am pleased with you." And those words, simply, "I am pleased with you," are the most unspoken words between a father and son. And if you do, you will refresh your son daily.
Mm, so yeah. Good. Okay, Jimmy, as we get ready to wrap up, did you want to say a word before I have you pray?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the truth is that this is an area that we often get wrong. I mean, you know, to be honest, this is one of those tricky times because we're emotional. We've got most men have a level of intensity, and maybe we don't always get it right in this area. So I would just encourage men that if you have blown it, if you have used words to wound your son or to hurt your son, don't walk away. You know, tell them, reengage, go back, you know, close the gap, get with them in the same room, tell them you got it wrong, admit it. And in some ways, you know, I use these words. I say, "Hey, can I have a do-over on that? I need a do-over. Can I hit the reset button? Here's what I meant to say, and here's how I meant to say it. Would you let me do that?" And I'm telling you, it brings restoration to that relationship, because you know what? We're not always going to get it right, but we can make it right when we get it wrong.
Boy, that's good, and it teaches them how to do it as well. So, Jimmy, if you would pray for that man listening today who realizes not only does he have a father wound, but he's been imparting some of that to his own son, would you pray for him today?
Yes, Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to speak into the hearts and lives of men who are listening today, Lord. You know, we don't always get it right. And for those of us on this call that are hurting, that feel that we've gotten it wrong, that we've made too many mistakes, Lord, I just pray that you would breathe new life, that you would tell us that those are the lies of the enemy, that you can turn everything around for good, Lord. And I pray right now that you would begin to restore relationships between fathers and sons, that you would find a way to close the gap between the dads and their boys, and Lord, that you would do a new work in restoring these relationships, in Jesus' name.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Dan Britton and Jimmy Page, it's always an honor to have you guys on the show. Thanks for all that you're doing for the family and for the kingdom. God bless you both.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Always good to have you. Title of their book, again, is Called to Greatness, 31 Devotions to Ignite the Faith of Fathers and Sons. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise, Hour 1. In just a little bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Check out Angel Tree and the great giveaway when you're there. And be a radio missionary. With the click of a button, send today's program with Ann and Jimmy out to your friends and empower lots of dads to engage with their sons. Coming up for Hour 2, I'll be talking to Leslie Ludi about living a set-apart life. Hour 2 is up next.